The biggest science story of the past week was the claim made that Prozac and other antidepressant drugs don't work. The joint study by researchers in the UK, America and Canada examined all available data on the drugs, including results from clinical trials that the manufacturers chose not to publish at the time. When all the data was pulled together, it appeared that patients had improved, but those on placebo improved just as much as those on the drugs. It's created a maelstrom of comment and rebuttal from doctors, patients and psychiatrists. So do the drugs work, or is it all in our heads? I spoke to Professor Irvin Kirsch of the University of Hull, one of the report's authors, and asked him how the team dug out the data for the study.
These were the data that the pharmaceutical companies sent to the U.S. regulatory agency, the FDA, in the process of getting their medications licensed. And we used a law called the Freedom of Information Act, through which we were able to get the files from the FDA.
Why do you think it is that pharmaceutical companies, you know, were not releasing these data? I mean, it might look to some on the outside that there might be some deliberate concealment involved.
Well, this used to be standard practice. A company would do a study and then decide whether or not to submit it for publication. And it's true in many fields that some papers, those without significant results, often don't get published in the journals. That's changing now in the drug field. There are clinical trials are now being registered, and I think in the future full data will be available. But in the past, it has not been, and we had to use the Freedom of Information Act in order to get it.
Just thinking from the point of view of some of those test subjects who are involved in those trials, you know, they're arguably taking a bit of a risk with themselves. They're trying an untested medicine, and the bargain that they're making is that they want to make a contribution, I guess, to humanity in a sense, to advance the course of knowledge. And yet, from some of those trials, the data were not being released for everyone to look at. I mean, isn't that a bit of a betrayal?
Well, I don't think that was the only motivation of the participants in the trial for taking part in it. They were also offered the opportunity to get a treatment that may benefit them in their may benefit their condition. I do think it's important that all the data be published and be made available. So let me be clear about that. And I think it was unfortunate that they were not, and that it was so difficult to get a hold of. I especially think it was unfortunate that the FDA decided to not mandate disclosure, even on the labeling of the medications, of the fact that not all of the trials were successful trials. But be that as it may, though, that has been standard practice in the past.
And where do we go from here in terms of prescribing these medicines?
Well, I think they still may have a role to play, but I would hope that more emphasis would be placed on alternative forms of treatment, since I think the most important finding from looking at the data that the pharmaceutical companies produced is that people can get better from depression, they can recover, but they don't necessarily need medication in order to do that. So the medications might be used as something, as perhaps a last resort for people who don't succeed in combating their depression by other means, or for those cases that are very, very severe and for that reason don't manage to benefit from alternative treatment.
Professor Irvin Kirsch there at the University of Hull. Now, one thing to say just before we go anywhere else is that if you are on any of these medicines, please don't stop taking them without consulting your doctor. It's very important to get some medical advice before thinking about doing that. And actually, the picture from the study is a little bit more subtle than just they don't work, full stop. Ian, tell us a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, I think the key finding out of this was that among people with not very severe depression, the drugs were in line with placebo. So the effect of the drug and the placebo were pretty similar. But what happened, which was probably quite interesting, among those patients who had severe depression, was that the drugs worked a little bit, but the placebo effect dropped off completely, or certainly a lot. So I think this is a classic case almost of drugs being overprescribed, where they will work for people with severe depression, but they are then given out to everybody who turns up at a GP's surgery saying, I'm down, and people who are basically unhappy rather than depressed.
Andy, the placebo effect, it's probably involved in, you know, every medicine, really. I mean, whenever you go to the doctor, you're getting a placebo effect in a sense. So what does this sort of add, do you think?
I'm not so sure of that, really, in that the placebo isn't a panacea. It's not effective in for every condition you go to your GP about. I mean, there are certain things where feeling good about yourself isn't going to do you any good whatsoever, really. You know, I'm sure we could name all sorts of things, but... Obviously, depression is one of those things where the placebo does have a strong effect. And in some ways, this study seems to tell us probably what we already knew already or could guess, in that if you're mildly depressed, then going to your doctor and feeling that someone's looking after you and there's some intervention happening means that you're going to feel better. And that if the drugs are having an effect, that's likely to be masked by a general placebo effect.
There certainly have been some studies in the past where they've done sort of smaller meta-analyses and looked at this and found that, you know, on the mild end of things, these aren't very effective. And indeed, the National Institute of Clinical Excellence already have guidelines that say, you know, don't prescribe it for people at the mild end of things. Nell, you've got a comment.
I'm just wondering what the how one kind of goes forwards. What do you do now if you're over-prescribing Prozac, then, and yet you need a placebo of some kind for mild cases of depression? What do you do?
Well, I think that the other options are things like cognitive behavioural therapy. Whether you call that a placebo effect or not, I'm not really sure, but it's an alternative therapy that does seem to work. So I think the NHS have already started saying we want to put more money into that.
Or exercise programmes or things like that.
Yeah. I was just quite interesting because there was almost interested in the media reaction to this story, because as we were talking about earlier, about 5 years ago, a senior person at GSK did come out and make the news by saying that about half of drugs don't work anyway. So this it was a really interesting thing to be said at the time, and it made front pages. And so now for a study to basically back that up, and there may be some publication bias in this study. I mean, if you think, I don't know whether they got hold of all of the studies which. I mean, obviously, selection bias, you know, the journals will publish the most interesting results, but, you know, do they reject papers that were seen by this group as well? I don't know if they saw all of the pool of studies.
Yeah, there may have been some that never even made it to the FDA, I guess, and they wouldn't have been accessible even to Freedom of Information Act.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that there's also another issue which came up at Alan Sokol's talk the other day, where he was just talking about whether there's an ethical dilemma here in whether we should be able to prescribe placebo, because either you are intentionally lying to your patient by saying this will cure you and it has something in it that will do that, i.e. sort of a homeopathy model, or you are so ignorant that you don't actually, you think it will work but you don't realise that it doesn't work, in which case it's ethically questionable whether you should be in that role anyway. So it's quite a tricky one to know how to move on, I think.
I think there's an interesting question here about good and bad placebos, if you like, whereas, as you saying, homeopathy is a sugar pill, so anyone prescribed a sugar pill is only going to get a placebo effect, and they've got to believe in the pill. Whereas for these antidepressant drugs, there may well be some sort of action, especially if you're severely depressed. And so I'd class that as an honest placebo or an honest placebo effect, and whether that's ethical or not, I think is a good subject for debate.
Quick comment from me.
Just a very quick one. Ben Goldacre's Bad Science column this week looked at some of the studies looking at placebo effects. And one of the nice ones he found was, a while back, a study was done where people were said, we are going to give you, ill people coming into a GP's surgery were told, we're going to give you a sugar pill. It has absolutely no medicine in it whatsoever, but we know that when we give these to people, some of them improve. Do you want this pill? And of the people who had it, the people who took it, they saw some of them had a notable improvement. So it's a really interesting, what do you do? And these people were told that it had no medicine in it, and still the placebo effect persists. So it's a really interesting
psychological effect. They didn't believe their doctor, though, that's the thing. They thought they can't be doing that.
Well, if you want an honest placebo, you need one without side effects, without costs associated. Yeah,
but is it a subconscious thing, or is it a conscious response?
Well, let's kick that one into the touch for now. Please do tell us what you think on the matter. Have your say on the blogs at blogs.guardian.co.uk/